to go along with our session tonight. And if you want to get those out, you can follow along. We will respond to various parts of the message with some additional psalm singing. Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, we want you to teach us tonight from your word, both with what we hear and with what we sing. And we want you to be glorified. Help us in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, music has always been an integral part of the life of a follower of God, especially as it pertains to worship. Walter Savage, as I've quoted before, said, "Music is the only art of heaven given to earth, and the only art of earth we take to heaven." And truly, we do find in the book of Revelation that there's singing in heaven. We find in the book of Job that there was singing at the creation of the world before humanity as it is today even existed. So music matters. It matters for worship. It matters because it's a wonderful medium for us to communicate to God in a unified way. We come from very different backgrounds. We are different ages. We come from different experiences. And yet, when we gather together on a Sunday like we have tonight, we are able to express to God a unified sentiment. We're able, all of us together, to worship God in unison. But what music should we use in our church services? Well, God answers that question for us in Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16, which we've looked at previously, two parallel verses, but there's a significant difference between the two as well. The Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And just prior to that, it says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." In other words, be filled with the word. So in Ephesians passage, it's be filled with the Spirit. In the Colossians passage, it's be filled with the word. And I think this relates to what Jesus said in John chapter 4, that the day is coming when those who worship will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And so we're filled with the Spirit and able to worship. We also are filled with the Word, which gives us the substance for our expression of worship truth. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And so there are these three categories, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that we should have in our congregational repertoire. Hymns, we know. These are songs of human composure that speak the truths of God's word, reflect theology, and express praise to God. And we've got a hymnal, and that's a wonderful treasure. And we should always preserve that. Hymns, both old and new. It's our heritage. Spiritual songs would include the choruses that we sometimes sing to just express ourselves to God in a more intimate way. And we sing those here at Central Mountains Baptist Church as well. But what about psalms? Well, psalms are the text of Scripture itself sung to God. The book of Psalms was not inspired by the Holy Spirit to be a theological textbook, though there's good theology in it, of course. It's the Word of God. It was inspired by God to be used as songs for the congregation to express to God. They were inspired to be sung. And the book of Psalms is not the only place where we find psalms or such songs. You find it in 2 Chronicles. In the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, is an example of a New Testament psalm. That was meant to be sung, the kenosis passage Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, etc. That was a song that they sang. So tonight, we're thinking about the Psalms and about using God's Word as part of our repertoire of congregational worship. And I want this session to both be informational, but most importantly, experiential in the sense that we're going to sing and we're singing to God. Okay, it's not a rehearsal or anything. It's real expressing our worship to Him. The book of Psalms, in its original form, its original Hebrew form, had the title Tehillim. And Tehillim translates praises. That's the original title for this book, praises. Now, the title that we find in our copies of the Bible is Psalms. And Psalms means songs. Where did that title come from? Well, it comes from the Greek translation of the Hebrew, which is the Septuagint. And that's the translation that Jesus and his apostles used and quoted from. You find quotations from the Septuagint in the New Testament. There are 150 songs in total in the book of Psalms. That Hebrew title, though, praises, is intriguing, especially when you think of some of the praises that we find in the book of Psalms. For example, Psalm 35 verse 1 says, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me." Now, if you were writing some praise, is that the kind of thing you'd think to write? Imagine singing in church Psalm 22, verses 1 to 2. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, that's what it says. Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. Have you ever sung anything like that here at Central Mountains Baptist Church? Or Psalm 109. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Can a curse be praise? The technical term for psalms like what I've just quoted is imprecatory. They're imprecatory psalms. And there are more. Psalm 35, Psalm 69, Psalm 137, they're imprecatory psalms. And yes, curses are praise when they are expressing something that's true, the judgment of God. The judgment of God. God has that right, and He has that power. These psalms remind me of Achan. You remember his story that he stole from God, he disobeyed God, and he was caught, and the sentence was pronounced. He would be stoned, he'd be executed. But prior to the execution, Joshua told him, give glory to God and praise Him. Now, I want you to experience singing an imprecatory psalm in church, okay? This is inspired from God, okay? And so let's sing Psalm 109. And think about these words as you sing them. Psalm 109.
O God, whom I delight to praise, to Thee I cry for help, I raise. Be Thou my friend and advocate when foes assail me with bitter hate. My good Redeemer, they
sung anything like that? How do we interpret the Psalms? Well, the Psalms are approached differently to other genre in the Bible. We don't approach it the same as Old Testament law or Old Testament history. The Psalms are poetic. As poetry, they communicate abstract thoughts in concrete terms. And so you want to think pictures when you are reading or singing the Psalms. Think pictures. Those imprecatory Psalms that I mentioned earlier and the one that we sang paints a picture for us, something that's concrete, but it's communicating an important principle that is not concrete. And we get the point, don't we? Psalm 137 is another imprecatory psalm. You'll see the words up behind me. We're not going to sing it, but just get the picture here, okay? By the rivers of Babylon. Well, let me set the context for you. This psalm is written after Israel and Judah were taken into captivity because of their disobedience. So picture Judah. They've been taken into captivity. Many of their family members have been slaughtered. Their houses have been destroyed. The temple destroyed. The wall of Jerusalem destroyed. Now they are forced into captivity and they're in Babylon. Okay, so by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there were those who carried us away captive that asked of us a song. And those who plundered us requested mercy, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, against the sons of Edom, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it to its very foundation. O daughter of Babylon, who are to be destroyed, happy the one who repays you as you have served us. Happy the one who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock. You get the picture? And what it reveals to us about our holy God and that the ravages of our sinfulness. A second thing you want to do when interpreting the Psalms, whether reading or singing, is watch for the figures of speech. You watch for the figures of speech. There are images in the Psalms, like Psalm 1 talks about the way of sinners. There are metaphors in the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a metaphor. Okay? There are similes. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. Psalm 1. There are personifications where human attributes are given to something that is inhuman, such as light and truth in Psalm 43. There's hyperbole. Hyperbole is when you exaggerate something to make a point. When the psalmist says in Psalm 42, my tears have been my food day and night. That's hyperbole. Makes the point. And then there's apostrophe. That's when someone who is absent is addressed as if they were present and able to respond. In Psalm 148, the poet calls upon the sun, the moon, and the stars to praise God. That's apostrophe. So watch for the figures of speech. Now the structure of the Psalms. There are 150 Psalms, but they were written not by a single author. There are more than five authors to the Psalms, identified in the book itself. There are 75 that belong to David. There are 12 that belong to Asaph, 11 that belong to the sons of Korah, 2 to Solomon, 1 to Moses, and 49 that are not attributed to anyone. So those are unknown. We don't know who they are from. They may have been from David or from anyone, for that matter. And these psalms, this book of Psalms, was actually collected over a span of 1,000 years. Moses, down through Solomon, and beyond. The early Hebrew manuscripts divided the book of Psalms into 5 books. And that's probably reflective of the Pentateuch, which also has 5 books. And I'll show you how that comes about in just a moment. But first, I think it'd be good for us to sing again, okay? So this song comes from the first book, a book which corresponds to the book of Genesis, and you will see the element of creation spoken about in this psalm that we're about to sing, Psalm 8. So let's sing Psalm 8. How majestic is thy name? See in Psalm 8, as we have it up on the screen now, the message that comes from the first book of the Pentateuch, Genesis. To the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of David, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. And then skipping down to verse 3 and 4, When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, verse 4, what is man? And what's it say in Genesis 1? Let us make man in our own image, in the image of God, created he him. And then verse 6, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Also from Genesis chapter 1. So you see the parallels there? Now here's another psalm from the first book, the one that corresponds to Genesis, God's creation and God's and humanity. And that's Psalm 23. We've sung one setting of Psalm 23. Now I want to sing another one. This one, the King of Love, my Shepherd is. The message of the book of Exodus is slavery and salvation. And those themes are found in the second book of the Psalms, Psalm 42 to 72. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. You hear it there? O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And then Psalm 46, which we're going to sing here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Can you picture the Exodus with the waters roaring and being troubled as the way is parted through the Red Sea? And then when they come to Mount Sinai and the thunderings and the earthquake as God makes his covenant with them, the Ten Commandments and onward. Let's sing Psalm 46. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. Slavery and salvation. Then we come to the third book. Sanctuary and sacrifice is the theme of the book of Leviticus, and so it is in Psalms 73 to 89. Sanctuary and sacrifice. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Let's sing Psalm 73. Psalm 73.
Other men are the plagues of
The fourth book corresponds to the book of Numbers. Wilderness and wandering. Wilderness and wandering. This is Psalms 90 to 106. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes out before him. You remember what happened to those who had who said, well, we can be priests, and they brought their censers before the Lord, and the fire came out, right? Fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Let's sing Psalm 90.
O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Before the hills in order stood, for earth received its frame.
The fifth book of the Psalms corresponds with the fifth book in the Pentateuch, Deuteronomy. Psalm 107 to 150 have the theme of house and home. It's in this assortment of Psalms that we find the Psalms of Ascent that they would sing as they would make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the festivals. And so, as you can just imagine, maybe you did this when you went on trips with your children, sing in the car to pass the time, right? They didn't have cars, but they're walking along or riding donkeys or whatever, and they are singing these songs. That's why they're called Songs of Ascent. That's what they sang as they made their procession towards Jerusalem. Here's one of the Songs of Ascent. It's 127. I'll read let's sing the song, the psalm, and then we'll see it up on the screen. Let's sing the psalm, 127. So picture yourself walking on the way to Jerusalem and singing this. You can see Psalm 127 up there, the very theme message that that we just sang. Now, in keeping with the Hebrew title of this book, Praise, every one of the five books in the Psalms ends with a doxology. You'll see these up on the screen. I'll just go through them quickly. Book one ends with this doxology. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Book two ends with, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. And then the third book concludes with, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. The fourth book. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. And then Psalm 150 closes out the whole, and it too is a doxology. Praise the Lord. And all the way through the different instruments, and then praise the Lord. Theological themes in the Psalms. I heard a church member say once, I'm not a theologian. In fact, I think theology kills the Bible. Why complicate it? Well, that church member couldn't have been more wrong. Theology is something that everybody does. All of us are theologians. Do you have thoughts about God? Well, that makes you a theologian. You've got thoughts about God. The trick is to have the right theology. How do we know what God is like? How do we know what God has done? How do we know what God will do? Well, the Bible tells us so. And there's no better way for us to learn the answer to those questions, those essential questions, no better way for us to develop our theology than to participate in it, as we do when we sing the Psalms. Let me give you some examples of the power of song. Now, these aren't exactly psalms, but they communicate truth. Jesus loves me. Any boys and girls know Jesus loves me? That is theologically rich. You can see the theological analysis there with Christology and soteriology. Another example, the Christmas carol, The First Noel. I love this one because anyone who is an evolutionist, has no right to sing this song, because if they do sing it, they're hypocrites, because the song quite clearly says, the Lord made heaven and earth of naught. He made it out of nothing. Direct contradiction. Maybe they should pay attention, because this is the truth. That's the way it happened. But you can see the theology that is contained in this Christmas carol. Psalms cause us to meditate on theology. We're expressing that theology, and songs stick with us, don't they? And they continue through our mind. Since singing is theological and meditative, it's important that we sing the right thing. Let me go through just briefly some key theological themes in the Psalms. The first theme is creation. The Psalms reveal that it is God who created the world. Psalm 96, verses 4 and 5. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Creation. The fall. The Psalms tell us that essential theological theme, the fall. Sin plunged us and creation into degradation. The effects of the fall are devastating, and we experience them today. In Psalm 14, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. Sin. And then there's the theme of redemption. The Bible is a good news book, and the Psalms by and large are good news songs. Psalm 68 says, "You have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, you have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation." But the Psalms also reveal to us that this salvation did not come cheaply. This salvation came through the greatest sacrifice possible, the sacrifice of God's own Son. Psalm 22 pictures it vividly. And I think it would be good for us to sing this psalm. In fact, I think this psalm is an ideal one to sing when we're having a communion service. Now, as you sing this psalm, I want you to picture what it's about. It's about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You'll find in this psalm very precise details of what that crucifixion felt like and looked like. And so let's sing Psalm 22.
My God, I cry to Thee. Oh, why hast Thou forsaken me? Afar from me Thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. Unnumbered foes would do me wrong. They press about me fierce and strong. Like beasts of prey their rage they vent. My courage fails, my strength is spent. Down unto death Thou leadest me, consumed by thirst and agony. With cruel hate and anger fierce, my helpless hands and feet they pierce. While on my wasted form they stare, the garments torn from me they share. My shame and sorrow heeding not, and for my robe they cast the lot. O Lord, afar no longer stay. O Thou, my helper, haste, I pray. From death and evil set me free. I live, for Thou didst answer me. I live and will declare Thy fame, where brethren gather in Thy name. All Thy faithful people meet, I will Thy worthy praise repeat.
And then the consummation. Creation, fall, redemption, consummation. The Psalms look to the future when God will end the travail of humanity and creation. The grip of sin will be forever broken, and utopia will begin and always remain. Jesus Christ Himself will be our King and our Lord. Psalm 72 says, "In His days the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace. Until the moon is no more, He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." What a precious treasure God has given to us in the Psalms. A book that's rich in truth, theology, and meant to be sung for us to participate in it. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the time that we've had the opportunity to worship you with words from the book you've inspired. May our hope be fixated on you. May we shun the attractions and also the discouragements of evil. And may we rejoice with a song in our heart, a new song put there by you, that many shall see and fear and will be caused to trust in the Lord. We pray in your name. Amen. Now our closing psalm is Psalm 98. So will you stand with me and let's sing this in closing.
Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he has wrought. His right hand and arm most holy triumph to his cause have brought. In his love and tender mercy he has made salvation known in the sight of
and hills need